Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers you won't be skipping and our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of At the Rim. This is the program that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the world of the National Basketball Association, the NBA. Coming up on this edition of the program, we have an interview with Nick Agar-Johnson, host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast and editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA and writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. On the program, we preview the 2023 NBA playoff first-round matchup. So Nick is indeed someone that's very knowledgeable, and he will be on the program on this edition of At the Rim. I want to start off with my top three storylines. I want to start off with the 2023 NBA playoffs. So it is here. After we've gone through the 82-game regular season, we've gone through the excitement of the play-in tournament, the excitement will increase with the 2023 NBA playoffs. With these matchups that we have with the likes of Cleveland and New York, Phoenix and the Clippers, Sacramento and Golden State, just to name a few, the playoffs always provide drama, excitement, intensity, and passion. And after all, we're in one of the best times in sports right now. We have the NHL playoffs. We also have the Boston Marathon. Just so much great things that are happening in sports right now. We're in the beginning stages of the Major League Baseball season. Sports is at a fun time right now, and certainly the NBA playoffs are going to continue to add to that excitement, and can't forget about the NHL playoffs as well. When you think of not just this year's NBA playoffs, but the history of the NBA playoffs, you think of Jordan, Bird, Magic, LeBron, Kareem, rest in peace, Willis Reed. You also think about Dominique Wilkins. You also think about Patrick Ewing. You also think about Reggie Miller, those great Indiana Pacers teams, the Miami Heat teams, just to name a few. You think about Shaquille O'Neal. You think about Allen Iverson. You think about, rest in peace, the Black Mamba, Kobe Bryant. You think about those great San Antonio Spurs teams. The list goes on and on. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that we're going to have many great memories in this year's NBA playoffs. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be a wild one for sure. I have no doubt about that. And hey, again, we're in one of the best times in sports right now, and the NBA playoffs add to that excitement. My next storyline is going to be Giannis Antetokounmpo. Giannis got hurt in game one of the series against the Miami Heat. What happened was he was going for a layup. He landed awkwardly, he was holding his tailbone as he took a hard fall while attempting a layup. The diagnosis was that he suffered a lower back contusion and would miss the remainder of the game. There is some hope, though. There is some optimism that Giannis could be ready to go for game two against the Miami Heat. Now, after the injury had happened, Giannis attempted to play. He tried to give it a go, and it just didn't work. They took him back to the locker room, and they checked him out. Good news is that x-rays are negative. And Giannis, again, the optimism is that he should be available for game two. We'll have to see how that plays out. But man, if you missed that game, he took a really nasty fall. And for those that happen to watch game one of Milwaukee and Miami, you'll know that that fall was very nasty. You know how Giannis is. He plays high impact, high intensity. And he wound up going for a layup, wind up getting fouled. But when he fell, he took a nasty fall right on his back. And then he was holding his lower back as he was down on the court for several minutes. He was helped up, but the diagnosis would later be known that he would suffer a lower back contusion and would not return to the game. But as I stated before, there's optimism for game two. And Giannis, listen, the Milwaukee Bucks are going to need him if they want to make a run at another championship. Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, they can only, those guys can only do so much, but they're going to need Giannis Antetokounmpo out there to get them to that next level. And for my last storyline is going to be Ja Morant. So when we talk about one of the most exciting players and dynamic players in the NBA, Ja Morant is right there at the top of the list. If Giannis suffered a nasty injury, Ja Morant suffered a nasty one as well. Ja Morant, his injury happened late in the second half of the game, attempting a layup. You know how Ja's play, high level, high intensity, high athletic ability. Ja did a layup, collided with a Laker, winds up falling hard on his already hurt, injured right hand. But unfortunately, he made matters worse by taking that hard fall after attempting a layup. Ja was down on the floor for several minutes. He got up, but he was in intense pain, and he did not return. And they said at the end of the game, according to multiple sources, that Ja's pain level was at 100%. He was in so much pain that he was unable to unball a pair of socks, and he showed a lot of frustration. It took him more than a few minutes to unball those pair of socks and attempting to tie his shoes. And then to, you know, add insult to injury, they say that game two status for Ja Morant is in jeopardy. So we see the optimism for game two for Giannis, for the Bucks to play the Heat. We see uncertainty and the status being in jeopardy for game two, with Ja going up against helping the Memphis Grizzlies tie the series against the Los Angeles Lakers. And again, when the injury happened in game one, reports again said that Ja's pain level was at 100%. But if there's any good news to this, is that there is time for rest for Ja Morant, and there's time to rest as well for Giannis Antetokounmpo. But if anybody's going to need a star to beat the Los Angeles Lakers in the first round of the series, the Memphis Grizzlies are going to need Ja Morant. It's just no excuse. Taking a hard fall like that, injuring your right hand, and then on top of that, your pain level being at an all-time high like that, Memphis needs Ja. I mean, Memphis has some talented players, Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks. Also, you have Tyus Jones, Jaren Jackson Jr., just to name a few. But Ja Morant is the hot sauce. He's the one that brings the spice and the fire to that offense. And if Memphis wants to go further in this year's playoff run, they're going to need a healthy Ja Morant. From the break, I have an interview with Nick Agar-Johnson. He's the host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast, the editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA. He's also a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. On the program, we preview the 2023 NBA playoff first-round matchups. Nick is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to At the Rim.
Now's a great time to explore your next career at Flowserve, a global manufacturer of pumps, valves, and seals. Flowserve is hosting a job fair at the Baton Rouge location off 12134 Industriplex Boulevard on Thursday, April 20th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Flowserve is hiring machinists, precision assemblers, and additional manufacturing roles with sign-on bonuses available for select positions. To fast-track your way to an interview, apply on flowservecareers.com before the event. Learn more about Flowserve's competitive pay, benefits, pension program, and schedules at flowservecareers.com.
You will fail. So what? Everybody does. But your gym, your watch, your yoga pants, they pretend you won't. So when you miss a day, eat the pancakes. Give up on a workout? You failed? Seriously, what the hell? We're BODi. We've been a part of that too, but not anymore. At BODi, we're rejecting perfection and embracing reality. Not in a Pizza Monday kind of way. In a loving your whole life kind of way. In a, this workout is fun and it's okay if I take a week off kind of way. In an, I'm eating healthy and it's okay if I indulge kind of way. In a, I like myself no matter what kind of way. Yeah, you will fail. We all will. But we're not going to let that be the end. You see that? We're already making progress. So let's keep going. We are BODi. Start your free trial at BODi.com. That's BODi.com.
Now's a great time to explore your next career at Flowserve, a global manufacturer of pumps, valves, and seals. Flowserve is hosting a job fair at the Baton Rouge location off 12134 Industriplex Boulevard on Thursday, April 20th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Flowserve is hiring machinists, precision assemblers, and additional manufacturing roles with sign-on bonuses available for select positions. To fast-track your way to an interview, apply on flowservecareers.com before the event. Learn more about Flowserve's competitive pay, benefits, pension program, and schedules at flowservecareers.com.
You hearing this? It sounds like
playoff basketball.
Time to tap into playoff mode. That nonstop, claw your way to the top, give it all you got type of thing. From inside the paint to outside the arena.
Where did this come from?
Everybody's got to get in playoff mode and stay in playoff mode. Every single round. The NBA playoffs presented by Google Pixel continue on ABC, ESPN, TNT, and NBA TV.
You will fail. So what? Everybody does. But your gym, your watch, your yoga pants, they pretend you won't. So when you miss a day, eat the pancakes. Give up on a workout? You failed? Seriously, what the hell? We're Body. We've been a part of that too, but not anymore. At Body, we're rejecting perfection and embracing reality. Not in a Pizza Monday kind of way. In a loving your whole life kind of way. In a, this workout is fun and it's okay if I take a week off kind of way. In an, I'm eating healthy and it's okay if I indulge kind of way. In a, I like myself no matter what kind of way. Yeah, you will fail. We all will. But we're not going to let that be the end. You see that? We're already making progress. So let's keep going. We are Body. Start your free trial at body.com. That's BODI.com.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movements that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe. Everything's changed. Head to toe.
You will fail. So what? Everybody does. But your gym, your watch, your yoga pants, they pretend you won't. So when you miss a day, eat the pancakes. Give up on a workout? You failed? Seriously, what the hell? We're Body. We've been a part of that too, but not anymore. At Body, we're rejecting perfection and embracing reality. Not in a Pizza Monday kind of way, in a loving your whole life kind of way. In a, this workout is fun and it's okay if I take a week off kind of way. In an, I'm eating healthy and it's okay if I indulge kind of way. In a, I like myself no matter what kind of way. Yeah, you will fail. We all will. But we're not going to let that be the end. You see that? We're already making progress. So let's keep going. We are Body. Start your free trial at body.com. That's BODI.com.
Leftovers. Or. The DMV.
Number 97.
Or. House cleaning. Or.
Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus
terms and conditions apply. See website for details. You will fail. So what? Everybody does. But your gym, your watch, your yoga pants, they pretend you won't. So when you miss a day, eat the pancakes. Give up on a workout? You failed? Seriously, what the hell? We're Body. We've been a part of that too, but not anymore. At Body, we're rejecting perfection and embracing reality. Not in a Pizza Monday kind of way. In a loving your whole life kind of way. In a, this workout is fun, and it's okay if I take a week off kind of way. In an, I'm eating healthy, and it's okay if I indulge kind of way. In a, I like myself no matter what kind of way. Yeah, you will fail. We all will. But we're not going to let that be the end. You see that? We're already making progress. So let's keep going. We are BODi. Start your free trial at BODi.com. That's BODi.com.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers you won't be skipping and our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers you won't be skipping and our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. It is here, the 2023 NBA playoffs. When you think of the history of the NBA playoffs, you think of drama, you think of suspense, you think of excitement, and you think of sheer intensity. To talk more about these playoff matchups, to preview the 2023 NBA playoff first round matchups, let's welcome him back to the program. We love his expertise so much so that we have to keep inviting him back on to the program periodically. He's the host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast. He's also an editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA and a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Let's welcome him back to the program, Mr. Nick Agard Johnson. Hey, Nick, welcome back to the program, my man.
Ed, thanks so much for having me back. Always a fun time to come on and talk basketball with you. And, of course, the big dance is finally here, the NBA playoffs. Really happy to be back on the show to talk about a great playoff slate with you.
You're absolutely right about that. And again, thank you so much, as always, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So, Nick, we've gone through the 82-game regular season. We've gone through the play-in tournament, and now it's finally here, the 2023 NBA playoffs. And let's begin with the Eastern Conference first-round matchups. So let's start off with the number one seed, Milwaukee Bucks. They're going to be going up against the 8-seed Miami Heat. So in this series, you know the names in this series. For Milwaukee, you've got Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's an MVP this year, followed by Drew Holiday, Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez. Also, you have Pat Connaughton and Chris Middleton. We don't know what status is going to be in this game, but with Milwaukee, we know what they're made out of. But with Miami, they can be one of the X factors in this year's playoff series. Jimmy Butler, a.k.a. Jimmy Buckets. You've got Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, and Kyle Lowry, just to name a few. Just give me your preview and your take on the number one seed Milwaukee going up against the 8-seed Miami Heat.
Yeah, so starting with Milwaukee, I mean, mentioned obviously the biggest name, of course, Giannis Antetokounmpo, once again an MVP candidate. The, I think, biggest factor for Milwaukee is something that you mentioned, which is really just the health status of Chris Middleton. I mean, when he's, you know, healthy and at his best, he is the clear second option for this Milwaukee Bucks offense. So it'll be really huge for their ability to, you know, put up points on the board to be able to have Chris Middleton back and healthy. If he's not there and healthy, of course, a lot more will fall onto Drew Holiday. And, you know, he's one of the best defenders, if not the best guard defender in the NBA, but also, you know, someone who was just under 20 points a game this year, you know, ended up getting an all-star berth for the Bucks this season. So a lot will fall on him if Chris Middleton can't be there for the first few games or even for the first series. And then also a lot will fall on Brook Lopez, who, you know, was in the top three for Defensive Player of the Year. We'll see if he ends up taking that award, but he's been an absolutely spectacular defensive presence all year long. And, of course, you know, his expanding his game out to three-point range has been a huge factor in his effectiveness in the latter part of his career. You know, 37% from deep on just under 5 3-point attempts per game, and, of course, continuing to be an absolute menace, you know, inside the two-point line, you know, continuing what we saw from him in Brooklyn, where he's still, you know, the team's all-time leading scorer. You know, his game has evolved since he's moved on from the Nets, but he can still be a punishing post presence when he gets those opportunities. So it'll be interesting to see how much of the offensive load falls onto Holiday and Brook Lopez, given Chris Middleton's health status. But Milwaukee will have to hope that Chris Middleton is healthy and good to go, because when he is definitely the clear second option for this Milwaukee team offensively.
You know, we've got so many players and so many stars in this matchup. I mean, you can go either way with this one. We know that Milwaukee won the NBA championship 2 seasons ago. Miami played in the NBA finals 3 years ago in the bubble in a grueling 6-game series. Unfortunately, Miami would lose to the Los Angeles Lakers. So we've got Giannis. We've got Jimmy Butler. We've got Kyle Lowry. We've got Tyler Hero. We also have Max Strus and Bam Adebayo. We've also got Brooke Lopez and Drew Holiday, some of the key players that we mentioned in this series. I got to ask you, Nick, who wins the series and how many games and why?
I think that Milwaukee will take this series. I'm struggling between 5 and 6 games. I think I'm ultimately going to go 6 games. I think the Chris Middleton question is going to be big for Milwaukee, and I think Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo between them can, you know, help the Heat to scrape out at least a game in the series. I'm going to go with them scraping out 2 games, but ultimately I think this Bucks squad is just too good top to bottom. So I'm going to say Milwaukee in 6 in this one.
All right, fair enough, and definitely it's going to be a series between Milwaukee and Miami. Let's move over now to the next game that we have in the first round in the Eastern Conference. The number 2 seed Boston Celtics go up against the 7th seed Atlanta Hawks. We know about Boston last year, played in the NBA Finals, lost a tough 6-game series to the Golden State Warriors. So Boston, their nucleus is back. Jaylen Brown, Robert Williams. Also, you've got Marcus Smart, one of the top defenders. We talk about Drew Holiday being one of the top defenders in the league. Marcus Smart is definitely in that top 5 as well. And, of course, you've got Mr. Jason Tatum. So you've got a ton of great players. The nucleus is back for Boston. And what a job that Joe Mazzulla has done in his first year as the head coach of the Boston Celtics. For the Atlanta Hawks, a lot of questions going into this playoff run. Trae Young, the rumors of him being traded possibly. In the meantime, Trae Young still represents the Atlanta Hawks. We've got DeJounte Murray. We've got John Collins. Clint Capella is going to be Clint Capella, being a rim protector. And Quinn Snyder coming in late in the season after Nate McMillan was fired. So Atlanta, a lot of distractions as of late, but they're trying to put it behind them as they have a tough series against the Boston Celtics. Give me your take on Boston versus Atlanta.
So starting with Atlanta, it has been a very strange season for them, but, you know, ultimately they ended up taking the 7th seed in the play-in tournament. They went 41-41 in the regular season, so, you know, just about as close to average as they could be. Offensive rating 116.6, defensive rating 116.3, so they're basically almost exactly even, you know, net rating of plus 0.3, so slight positive, but again, you know, this is a team that has been very middle of the pack all season, but middle of the pack in a very strange way, and that they've had really high highs and really low lows throughout the season. But, you know, their play-in play was definitely a high point for them, given that they claimed the 7th seed. So, you know, they did a little bit better than their seeding heading into the play-in in terms of their playoff matchup. Unfortunately for them, they are matched up against a Boston Celtics squad that has been at or near the top of the Eastern Conference basically all season. I mean, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have both had incredible years for the Celtics. Joe Mazzulla, as a rookie head coach, has been fantastic for them. Malcolm Brogdon is one of the leading candidates for Sixth Man of the Year. He's been incredible for the Celtics off the bench. Al Horford has continued to just play really smart, solid basketball, been a huge presence for the Celtics on both ends of the floor, a really well-built Celtics team that I think has the firepower to go pretty far in these playoffs. So, yeah, I think that the Celtics have the clear advantage in this matchup, but this has been a very volatile up-and-down season for the Atlanta Hawks. If they can, you know, put together 4 of their best games of the season in this series, I don't think it's out of the question that they take it, but I'm definitely leaning Boston for this one.
All right, Nick, I got to ask you this. Who wins the series and how many games and why?
I think Boston in 5. I'm tempted to say 6. I don't think it's going to be a sweep. I think that Trae Young will have at least one really exceptional game that carries the Hawks to a win or DeJounte Murray has been inconsistent at times this season, but he has had a few really spectacular games. I think between the two of them and, you know, Clint Capella as the sort of rim defending presence that this Atlanta Hawks team, you know, needs and uses, I think they'll be able to take at least one game in the series, but I'm not sure I like their chances of doing any better than that. And I think this is a really strong Celtics squad top to bottom. I think they take the series pretty easily, but I don't think it's going to be a sweep. So I'm going to go Boston in five.
All right, fair enough. So let's move over now to the next matchup in the East. We have the third seed Philadelphia 76ers going up against the sixth seed Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn, boy, you talk about a season. We talked about Atlanta having a roller coaster year. Well, the Brooklyn Nets went through a roller coaster of a season right before the trade deadline. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, both battled injuries. They both battled dissatisfaction with playing for the franchise. The trade deadline happened. Kyrie's dealt to Dallas. Kevin heads to the desert to play for the Phoenix Suns. So now you've got KD, Kyrie are no longer there. In comes Spencer Dinwiddie and Dorian Finney-Smith in the trade deadline. Also, Mikal Bridges, who's played extremely well this year for Brooklyn. Of course, Nick Claxton has played well as well. Philadelphia, listen, we're still waiting for the process to be completed. Joel Embiid, another year where he's an MVP candidate. James Harden in the mix. PJ Tucker, also Tyrese Maxey, just to name a few. Give me your thoughts on Philly and Brooklyn.
So when you talk about Brooklyn, it has been a crazy volatile season there for the Nets, but ultimately they started to gel down the stretch in a way that they, you know, didn't particularly gel in the first few games after the All-Star break. I mean, they won six of their last nine games of the regular season. So, you know, they had a pretty solid stretch to end the season after not as good of a stretch directly following the All-Star break. But, I mean, talking about Mikal Bridges, he has been absolutely huge for this Brooklyn squad. I mean, you know, you're talking about a guy who is averaging 26 points a game on, you know, 48, 38, 89 shooting splits. You know, he's one of the best wing defenders in the league. And, you know, him combining his exceptional defense with that kind of scoring output, it's going to be really fascinating to see how next season looks for Mikal Bridges and the Brooklyn Nets. Unfortunately, for this season, they've matched up against a team that is really, you know, already did in the first game of the series, set up in a way that they can really pose problems for this Brooklyn Nets squad. I mean, Nick Claxton has been spectacular all year, but he's really the only solution that they have for Joel Embiid. And, you know, James Harden just absolutely eviscerated his former squad in that first game of the playoffs. So, you know, Philadelphia has had a really solid squad all year long, and, you know, they're a team that matches up really, really well from their perspective anyway against the Brooklyn Nets. From the Nets side of things, I mean, the combo of Embiid and Harden is going to be really difficult for them to continue to stop, and they didn't exactly do what they needed to stop those guys in the first game of this series.
All right, who wins and how many games and why?
I think it's going to be Philadelphia in five. I mean, the first game was not a particularly great look for the Nets. And, you know, ultimately the Nets were the sixth seed, sure, but they banked a lot of the wins that carried them to the sixth seed earlier in the season. They're not the same team that they were in December and January. You know, that's pretty clear to see. I think that ultimately with, you know, Bridges and Nick Claxton and, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith, you know, those guys that they have, I think that they can scrape together, you know, Seth Curry as well. I think they can scrape together a win in this series, but I think it's going to be really difficult for them to do more than that. This is just a brutal, brutal matchup for this Nets squad. I think it's going to be Philly in five. I think the Nets take one, but I think it's going to be really difficult, unfortunately, for them to do any more than that.
All right, fair enough. And the final series that we have in the first round on the Eastern Conference side of the 2023 NBA playoffs, I think this is going to be the show stealer, not just in the Eastern Conference, but really in the first round of the playoffs. We have the fourth seed Cleveland Cavaliers going up against the fifth seed New York Knicks. Let's start off with the Cavs for a moment. What a young nucleus that they have, and it's only going to get better. After Kevin Love was released by Cleveland, it seems as though Cleveland just got better as the season went on. Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, they both provide the points in the paint. and giving solid defense. You've also got Darius Garland, who is going to be who is a rising star at the point guard position. And, of course, Mr. Donovan Mitchell, who almost played for the New York Knicks but decided to go to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And what a season that he's having. I really thought he should have been an MVP candidate this year. So Cleveland is in the mix for the New York Knicks. Julius Randle, what a season he's had, making an all-star team. Emmanuel Quickley's played well. Mitchell Robinson comes in and provides the defense. We know what R.J. Barrett is capable of doing, but I think the one key ingredient that really helped New York this year was acquiring point guard Jalen Brunson. Cleveland and New York, give me your thoughts on this series.
Cleveland, they have, I think, two awards contenders that are really sort of driving things with Donovan Mitchell, as you mentioned, you know, sort of a dark horse MVP candidate, you know, probably won't end up winning given the three big men in Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, and Giannis sort of at the top of the MVP ladder, but Donovan Mitchell has had a spectacular season in Cleveland and definitely agree with you that that should not go overlooked. On the other side, you know, Jared Allen has been a huge piece for them defensively, but really the main calling card there is Evan Mobley. He had a great rookie season defensively and has just been on another level this year in terms of his defense. I mean, he's one of the, you know, three finalists for Defensive Player of the Year, and it is well, well deserved. He is such an absolute force as a switch defender, as someone who can drop back and defend the rim. And he's no slouch on offense either. He has a great handle for his size. His three-point shot isn't quite where you'd want it to be yet, but, you know, in terms of the rest of his offense, great passer, exceptional handle for his size. He just does so much for this Cavaliers squad. And, you know, Donovan Mitchell running the offense and Evan Mobley running the defense is an absolute nightmare for other teams to try and deal with. On the other side, with the New York Knicks, I think you hit the nail on the head. Jalen Brunson has been massive for this team. I mean, other than, you know, a few weeks of Jeremy Lin, this team has not had a top flight point guard in a very, very long time. And Jalen Brunson is that kind of player. You know, he is someone who I think had a very good case for being in the All-Star game alongside Julius Randle. And, you know, I think the other thing that's big with this Knicks team is picking up Josh Hart at the trade deadline has been massive for this team. He's been an absolutely huge piece for them off the bench, you know, 30 minutes a game, just filling gaps from them on both ends of the floor. He's been incredible as a member of the New York Knicks, and I expect him to continue that hot end of the season run into the playoffs for them.
All right, Nick, we need the verdict now. Who wins the series and in how many games and why?
This, I think, is going to be the most tightly contested first-round series in the Eastern Conference. I see, though, I have to go with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm going to say in seven. It's difficult for me to decide between seven or six, but I think that ultimately the Cavs defense with Mobley, Jared Allen, Isaac Okoro as well on the wing, spectacular defender, and, you know, Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland running the offense, I think that they just have too many pieces for this Knicks squad to deal with. So, again, I think this is the closest matchup in the Eastern Conference side of the bracket. And ultimately, though, I'm going to go with Cleveland taking this one. Again, tough for me to decide between six and seven, but I think I'm going to go with Cleveland taking this series in seven games.
Let me be the first to say that Spike Lee may beg to differ on this one, but nevertheless, Nick has Cleveland to win in seven to beat the New York Knicks. And that takes care of the Eastern Conference. Now let's move over to the Wild Wild West Conference. And looking at these first-round matchups here, Nick, I mean, anybody's deserving. These matchups look like they could be a possible Western Conference final. Let's start off with the number one seed Denver Nuggets going up against the 8-seed Minnesota Timberwolves. Let's start off with the 8-seed Timberwolves for a moment. So in the play-in tournament, they went through a rough patch, losing to the Los Angeles Lakers. They redeemed themselves and dominated Oklahoma City Thunder. So Minnesota, definitely some strange circumstances that have happened recently with them, with the whole Rudy Gobert, Kyle Anderson situation, Jaden McDaniels out for the season, punching a wall in frustration. But they do have Karl Anthony Towns, and they do have one of the rising stars in the league with Anthony Edwards. And, of course, they have a KG veteran in Mike Conley Jr. For the Denver Nuggets, they never took the foot off the gas in terms of being the number one seed. Jamal Murray is healthy. You've got Michael Porter Jr. You've also got Aaron Gordon doing what he does best. And, of course, the two-time league MVP and also up for another MVP this year, Mr. Nikola Jokic, Denver and Minnesota. How do you like this one?
So it has been a very odd season for the Timberwolves as a whole, and it's been a particularly odd last few days. You mentioned the Rudy Gobert-Kyle Anderson incident. Obviously, that's, you know, not great in terms of team cohesion to have that sort of thing happen on live television. But I think that, oddly enough, the Jaden McDaniels injury is actually more of an issue for them than the Rudy Gobert-Kyle Anderson fight. You know, I think that ultimately, you know, there's a lot of stress and pressure in NBA locker rooms. And certainly, you know, it seems like that was a situation where tension boiled over. But, you know, ultimately, Minnesota's in a situation where both Gobert and Kyle Anderson are going to play and be key factors for the Timberwolves. So I think that they can get close enough to being on the same page for at least, you know, a playoff run that won't be as much of an issue. Jaden McDaniels, however, I mean, he has just been enormous for this team all season. You know, started 79 games for them, you know, nearly 50% from the floor and 39% from three-point range. He's a really versatile defender as well, you know, someone who can cover a lot of ground for them, cover a lot of different positions. I am much more concerned about the Timberwolves' playoff chances after the Jaden McDaniels injury. I think and hope that the Rudy Gobert-Kyle Anderson thing, they can patch it up enough to at least get through a playoff run, but I think the Jaden McDaniels injury really hurts their chances. On the other side, I mean, you know, you mentioned it, this Nuggets squad has Nikola Jokic, who's been one of the front runners for MVP basically all season. You know, Aaron Gordon has also had a really, really spectacular year. Jamal Murray has been up and down, certainly, but he still is a 20-point-per-game scorer who is, you know, has a history of lighting it up in playoff matchups. If you remember back to the bubble days, you know, Jamal Murray was a huge force in those playoffs, certainly, and he can be that kind of force again. You know, it's going to be an interesting matchup, certainly, but I think, you know, in terms of how the Nuggets have been all season and how, you know, difficult the last few days in particular have been for the Timberwolves, I think that there's a pretty clear favorite in my mind in this matchup.
I need the verdict now. Who wins the series and how many games and why?
I think that the Nuggets take this series. I'm going to say in five. I'm tempted to call for a sweep here, especially with Jaden McDaniels out, but I think that, you know, the Nuggets actually didn't have the greatest close to the season. I mean, they lost five of their last seven games. Now, of course, that's, you know, very different from the rest of their season, and I don't think that kind of momentum is going to be much of an impact, especially in this particular series. I think with the Timberwolves, I mean, I think that Anthony Edwards, Rudy Gobert, and Karl-Anthony Towns can, you know, get them a win in this series, but I think it's going to be very difficult for them to get much more than that. And of all the series that I've predicted so far, I think this is probably the most likely to end in a sweep, even though I'm still going to say Nuggets in five.
This next matchup could be easily a Western Conference Finals matchup. Before the All-Star break, Nick, the Lakers looked like a team that was just headed for a vacation to maybe Cabo San Lucas or maybe headed to Cozumel or maybe take one of those Club Med vacations. But after the All-Star break, LeBron, he got hurt, but Anthony Davis really stepped up to the plate, and he really is the X factor on this team. And when LeBron came back, him and AD connected like magnets. And then on top of that, you have the emergence of Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell returning from his injury, Dennis Schroeder getting hot at the right time. The Lakers got into the play-in tournament. They were able to beat Minnesota, and they got the seventh seed. So you talk about an up-and-down season for the Lakers, but a team that got hot at the right time. As for the Memphis Grizzlies, the number two seed in the West, Dillon Brooks, say what you want about him, his fashion statements, wearing those Stone Cold Steve Austin leather vests, but hey, he's one of the emotional leaders. He is the emotional leader on that team, and he's, let's just say him and Draymond Green are never in a loss of words for one another. And you've got Jaren Jackson Jr., a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year, Desmond Bane, one of the top shooters in the league, Ja Morant, he's battled his demons this year, but he came back and he's in rare form again for the time being. Give me your thoughts on Memphis and the LA Lakers.
So starting with the Lakers, they completely changed this team at the trade deadline, and it has been a huge benefit for them that they changed the team the way they did. You know, you mentioned getting D'Angelo Russell back, and he's been big for them, but Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt have also been absolutely huge for this Lakers squad. Malik Beasley has provided some much-needed three-point shooting for this Lakers squad, really helped them space out their rotation. And then Jared Vanderbilt has just been a do-everything sort of player for this Lakers squad. You know, he's covered a lot of gaps defensively. He's done a lot of the dirty work on offense, you know, setting screens, grabbing offensive boards, those sorts of things, running out in transition. So they really did rebuild this team pretty dramatically at the trade deadline. And, you know, as you mentioned, it's worked out pretty well for them. They have been one of the hotter teams in the league since the All-Star break. On the other side, of course, with the Memphis Grizzlies, I mean, they're a team that has been very, very good all season long. So, you know, not quite the same sort of midway through turnaround that the Lakers have had. I mean, you know, they have Ja Morant leading the offense. They have potential defensive player of the year candidate Jaren Jackson leading the defense. Fortunate that they're going to be missing Steven Adams for the rest of the season with his knee injury, because he was a really huge stabilizing force for this Grizzlies squad on both ends of the floor. I mean, you know, he's one of the best offensive rebounders that we have, if not the best offensive rebounder in the league this season. You know, he's someone who just sets absolutely punishing screens on offense, you know, doesn't put up that many points in terms of his own production, but, you know, is someone who just did a lot for them on both ends of the floor. So it's unfortunate for them that they're going to be missing Steven Adams, but the good thing for the Grizzlies is that they just have such incredible depth. I mean, you know, even with Adams out and with Brandon Clark missing the rest of the season with his Achilles tear, you know, this is a squad that runs 9-10 deep pretty easily. And, you know, that's less of a factor in the playoffs than it is in the regular season, but the top 8 for Memphis is really strong. The top 10 for Memphis is really strong. They've just got a lot of different looks that they can throw at you, and they have two spectacular players leading the charge on either end with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., and then, of course, Dylan Brooks being a sort of emotional leader for the squad.
All right. Who wins and how many games and why?
I think Memphis takes it in 6. I think that ultimately the Lakers have really turned around their season in a way that it didn't look like they would at the trade deadline, but this is a very deep Memphis team with some spectacular talent at the top of the roster as well. Ultimately, there's a reason that the Lakers have been as good as they've been since the All-Star break. The new-look Lakers fit a lot better as a squad than the old-look Lakers did. So, you know, I think that the Lakers might have more of a chance than I would usually think for a 2-7 matchup, but ultimately I think that Memphis' firepower on both ends and the incredible depth they have will be enough to carry them over the Lakers in 6 games.
All right, let's move along now to the next matchup. I think this first-round matchup is going to be the best one in the Western Conference. We have the number 3 seed Sacramento Kings going up against the 6 seed Golden State Warriors, the defending champion Golden State Warriors. We know about Golden State's pedigree, right? We're watching history right in front of us. Golden State, the defending champions. We know about the pedigree that they bring to the table with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, both of them being the Splash Brothers, Draymond Green being Draymond, the emotional leader of the team, head coach Steve Kerr, and Andrew Wiggins. He was out due to some personal reasons. He's back. That's going to be interesting to see how fresh he's going to be in this contest. We don't know if in game shape. We've seen him in warm-ups. We'll see how that's going to take shape. But nevertheless, we've got Golden State in the mix again, going up against a team that has wowed everyone this year, the Sacramento Kings, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Keegan Murray. Also, you got Harrison Barnes and, of course, Domantas Sabonis. And the head coach, Mike Brown, who most likely will win this year's Coach of the Year award. We've got a great one, Nick. We've got Central California going up against the Bay Area, Sacramento and Golden State. How do you like this one?
I mean, as a Kings fan, I love this one. In terms of the matchup, this one is a doozy. I mean, we're talking about the two high-scoring teams in the league, the Warriors, 118.9 points per game, second in the league, the Kings, 120.7 points, first in the league. these are two absolutely nuclear offenses, and it's going to be just an absolute joy to watch them square off against each other. I mean, on the Warriors side of things, you know, you have Steph Curry putting together another spectacular season. You have Klay Thompson, who, you know, struggled at times last season, which is completely understandable given that he's nearly 3 years due to, you know, multiple different injuries. But it's been wonderful to see him come all the way back this season. He knocked down 300 three-pointers this season, which, you know, doesn't sound as ridiculous as it should, but, you know, with the Splash Brothers, basically anything is possible three-pointer-wise. And, you know, Klay at 22 points a game, you know, he's really got the offensive feel back, you know, 10.5 three-pointers per game, 41% from deep. He's, of course, been lethal his entire career from distance, but it's been really nice to see him get back, you know, to being the Klay Thompson of old, you know, certainly on the offensive end. And then on the defensive side of things, I mean, Draymond Green is the linchpin of this Warriors defense, as he has been for many years now. And I think that it'll be very interesting to see, as you mentioned, how Andrew Wiggins fits in with the squad, you know, sort of ramping back up after missing time due to personal reasons. It'll be interesting to see sort of how the Warriors team gels, but I guess it's more of a defensive thing than an offensive thing, because this is a team that can put up points in a hurry. And I mean, when you're talking about putting up points in a hurry, this Sacramento Kings squad has just been such a joy to watch all season long. You know, their offense has hummed at a truly remarkable level. And I mean, you know, with the two-headed De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis combo at the top, you know, the offense just flows so well through those two guys. And Keegan Murray has been huge as a rookie, you know, set the rookie three-point record and, you know, hit 200 three-pointers as a rookie on, you know, 40% three-point shooting. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That'll do for Keegan Murray just fine. And then Kevin Huerter, of course, has also been a huge pickup for this squad. You know, the Sacramento Kings starting lineup has been remarkably healthy all season long. And, you know, Kevin Huerter missed more time than anybody but the De'Aaron Fox starting group. And when he's out there and hitting from deep, he just adds such an incredible element to this offense. You know, his two-man game with Domantas Sabonis is absolutely next level. The defense will be interesting to figure out for the Kings. I mean, you know, they haven't been much of a defensive presence all season, and the Warriors have a ridiculously hot offense, but you know, this is going to be a lot of high-scoring games, probably, and it's going to be, you know, a series between two teams that are 80 miles away from each other, you know, because this is California, you know, it could be a four-hour drive, but, you know, in theory, these are two teams that are pretty close by in terms of, you know, physical location as well, as, you know, the fact that they're very similar in terms of their absolutely nuclear offenses. So this series should be a ton of fun to watch. I'm expecting a lot of high-scoring games.
All right. I know you said earlier that you are a Kings fan, so I got to ask you the $50 million question. Who wins and how many games and why?
Oh, man. This is difficult. I mean, my heart says Kings in four, but I know that's not the right pick, so I'm not going to say that. I think that the Kings will take this series in seven. I think that this is probably going to be the closest series of the first round. I think it's almost certainly going to be the best watch. I mean, these are two of the most fun offenses you've ever seen, you know, humming at an incredibly high level, and it'll be fascinating to see, you know, how they match up against each other. The Warriors have the playoff experience. That's definitely a huge part of it, but De'Aaron Fox is almost certainly going to win Clutch Player of the Year award. He has been insane in fourth quarter play all season long, and when the game's gotten tight, the Kings have gone to De'Aaron Fox time and time again, and time again, he's delivered. So I think that ultimately this is going to be an incredibly close series. I could definitely see the Warriors winning this one. You know, it would make me sad personally, but, you know, there's every reason to believe that the defending champs can, you know, pull off another series win in this one. But I'm still going to go with the Kings in seven here. I think that their incredible offense combined with just how ridiculous De'Aaron Fox has been in late game situations will give them the slight edge in this one to topple the Warriors.
All right, and then let's talk now about the final first-round matchup in the Western Conference. We have the 4th seed Phoenix Suns going up against the 5th seed Los Angeles Clippers. This is, again, this has the making of a possible Western Conference final, and just the depth of the matchups that we see in the Western Conference, are truly phenomenal, shaped by the team. Let's start with the Clippers for a moment. So Russell Westbrook, he was dealt to the Utah Jazz, and then he has to be released. Utah releases him. He's picked up by the LA Clippers. Very shaky in the beginning with the Westbrook, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard era, but things started a little bit of steam as we got towards the end of the regular season. Kawhi Leonard, Kawhi is Kawhi. We know what he brings to the table, one of the best two-way players in the league. Paul George got hurt towards the end of the season. His status is unknown for this first-round matchup against Phoenix. In the meantime, as for the Suns, I talked about Kyrie Irving earlier, but Kevin Durant, one of the biggest fishes coming out of the pond in the trade deadline, heading over to Phoenix, and it's been major success so far for the Suns. Kevin Durant, you got Devin Booker, and of course, we talk about our guy a lot, Chris Paul, a future first ballot Hall of Famer. So Phoenix and the LA Clippers, how do you like this one?
So I think the biggest element of this one is something you've already mentioned, namely that Paul George is questionable for the start of this series. I think that is a huge, huge blow to this Clippers squad. I mean, you know, they have Kawhi Leonard, so they will have some star power, certainly. And Russell Westbrook has been really, really solid for the Clippers after a very, very up and down, let's just say, Los Angeles Lakers tenure. But I think that Paul George missing the start of this series and then probably not being 100%, you know, even when he does come back, I think that tips the balance of this series pretty heavily in favor of the Phoenix Suns, who I think would be my pick at this point in time to come out of the Western Conference. I mean, when Kevin Durant plays, you know, the 8 regular season games he played, I'm pretty sure the Suns won every single one of them. And I mean, when you're talking about a squad that has a big three of Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Chris Paul, you know, that's just an absolute nightmare for any other team to try and match up with. DeAndre Ayton has had some really great moments and some inconsistencies throughout his career, but I think, you know, him being the fourth option, you know, behind those three superstar level players in Booker, Durant, and, you know, maybe some would say that Chris Paul isn't quite a superstar anymore. I think that's fair, but he's still a very, very, very good player, and, you know, that top three can match up with any top three anywhere else in the league. And then, you know, they lost some of their depth in the trade to acquire Kevin Durant, obviously, but, you know, they still have some solid pieces around that sort of core four group that I already mentioned. So, yeah, I mean, I think that the Suns have what it takes to, you know, to go all the way and to win the title, and certainly they would be my favorites right now to come out of the Western Conference. The Clippers are a very difficult matchup for any team, but again, I think the Paul George injury makes this a little easier for me to call than it would be if he was heading into the playoffs completely healthy.
I got to ask you now, who wins this series and how many games and why?
I think Phoenix. I think the big three that they have, as I mentioned, is just going to be too much for the Clippers to handle. I'm to be conservative here and say 6 games. I think that, you know, given the Paul George injury, the Suns could definitely blitz the Clippers out of the gate and take the series in 5 or maybe even in a sweep. But I think ultimately between Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, Ivica Zubac has been really huge for the Clippers since they acquired him. You know, I think that this is a Clippers squad that has, you know, the right pieces to make some noise in the playoffs. I would like them more against almost any other team than the Suns. And I think ultimately the Suns' firepower is just going to be too much for the Clippers to overcome. So I'm going to say Phoenix in 6, even though I'm really tempted to say Phoenix in 5.
All right, fair enough. And I have to ask you this question, Nick. Which first-round playoff matchup do you think is going to be the show stealer?
I think it's Kings-Warriors, pretty clearly. I mean, I think that the best Eastern Conference matchup is probably going to be Cleveland and New York. I'm very excited to see that one. Been a huge Evan Mobley fan for basically, you know, since before he came into the NBA, and I think this could be a real breakout for him in sort of the public spotlight. Donovan Mitchell as well. I mean, he's had an absolutely spectacular year, you know, in the MVP running, certainly. On the Knicks side, Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson have both had really spectacular years, and Emmanuel Quickley, you know, contender for Sixth Man of the Year award. That, I think, is going to be a great series in the Eastern Conference, but again, I think the choice for me is pretty clearly going to be Kings Warriors. And I don't even think that's Kings fan bias, honestly. I think that these are just two of the most fun offenses that we've ever seen in the NBA. And watching them just go toe-to-toe and probably put up some truly spectacular scoring performances, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. So that's my choice for best first-round matchup.
Yeah, that Kings and Warriors matchup is definitely going to be exciting. I'd mentioned earlier that Cleveland and New York was going to be a show stealer for me, but also Sacramento and Golden State, that one's going to be wild, especially considering what Sacramento has gone through. I mean, it's been 16 years since they've been in the playoffs, and definitely well worth the wait. And you heard it from him. He is Nick Agar-Johnson. He is for the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast. He's also editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA, and he's a writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Nick, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody what's going on over at No Ceilings as well as Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic.
Absolutely. You know, No Ceilings NBA, you can find at No Ceilings NBA on all socials and No Ceilings TV on YouTube. We've been doing a lot of fun stuff over at No Ceilings lately. Of course, the NBA draft is rapidly approaching. So, you know, all the teams that we didn't talk about today in the playoff picture are looking forward to the upcoming lottery. It'll be really interesting to see, you know, how the lottery sort of shakes out and where the draft position is there. And for any and all NBA draft-related info, you can go check out No Ceilings NBA. I also had an article go up for No Ceilings NBA, the third volume of my editor's notes series. So I covered five draft prospects in some depth. So Jordan Hawkins, Kobe Bufkin, Leonard Miller, James Nnaji, and Noah Clowney in that article. And then, you know, Nets Republic at Nets Republic on all socials. Of course, the Nets being in the playoffs, there's going to be a lot of content going up over at Nets Republic. And then Hashtag Basketball at #TBasketball on social media.
All right, Nick, one more time, tell everybody where they can find you on social media as well as Hashtag Basketball, Nets Republic, also No Ceilings, and any websites. Let the listeners know that as well.
Absolutely. So you can find me on social media on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at NBA Johnson. And then, again, No Ceilings NBA at No Ceilings NBA on social. Hashtag Basketball at #TBasketball. Nets Republic at Nets Republic. And then website, Nets Republic is NetsRepublic.com. Hashtag Basketball, hashtag Basketball.com. And No Ceilings NBA, NoCeilingsNBA.com. And you can subscribe to No Ceilings NBA via the website. Get NBA draft content in your inbox 5 to 6 days a week, and maybe even 7 days a week as we get closer and closer to the draft. The draft season is really heating up, and there's going to be a lot of good stuff going up over at No Ceilings NBA, so definitely be sure to check that out.
You heard it from him. He's Nick Agar-Johnson, host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives, editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA, and writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Nick, as always, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. And as always, if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Absolutely, Ed. Thanks so much for having me back on. Always fun to chat basketball with you, and it's a great time of the year to do it.
Absolutely. You got that right. We'll be back with more right after this.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
Leftovers or the DMV
number 97
or house cleaning or Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes.
ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You will fail. So what? Everybody does. But your gym, your watch, your yoga pants, they pretend you won't. So when you miss a day, eat the pancakes. Give up on a workout? You failed? Seriously, what the hell? We're BODi. We've been a part of that too, but not anymore. At BODi, we're rejecting perfection and embracing reality. Not in a Pizza Monday kind of way, in a loving your whole life kind of way. In a, this workout is fun and it's okay if I take a week off kind of way. In an, I'm eating healthy and it's okay if I indulge kind of way. In a, I like myself no matter what kind of way. Yeah, you will fail. We all will. But we're not going to let that be the end. You see that? We're already making progress. So let's keep going. We are BODi. Start your free trial at BODi.com. That's BODi.com.
Leftovers. Or the DMV.
Number
97. Or house cleaning. Or
Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers you won't be skipping and our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love.
Leftovers. Or the DMV.
Number 97.
Or house cleaning. Or
Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of At the Rim. Once again, a big special thank you to Nick Agar-Johnson, host of the No Ceilings NBA Deep Dives podcast and editor-in-chief and writer for No Ceilings NBA and writer for Hashtag Basketball and Nets Republic. Again, a big special thank you to Nick for appearing on the program as we preview the 2023 NBA playoff first-round matchups. And until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to At the Rim.